We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different.
This is Pastor Jolly John Lekumsky coming to you from the cool breezes of Northfield, Minnesota. And I have with me...
Thanks for rubbing it in, John. Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark coming to you from the hot and humid climate of St. Louis, Missouri. We went to the Cardinals game last night, and it was a hot one. We just kind of sat there and sweated. And it was even after the sun was down, John. So... Anyway, I'll be thinking of you.
Yeah, well, we're
next
going.
Next time I step outside,
we're going to the Twins game, and we'll probably have to wear a jacket.
So, brother,
to let you know. So, speaking of which, you know, we have a little lighter approach to Bible study. In fact, that's what we're known for. That's even how the radio station promotes us. And sometimes I wonder how other people feel about that, because, you know, KFUO is kind of an august, serious organization. Think about the wonderful Bible study they have. That it used to be the Bible study, the daily program, and that now it's the I Strong Word. But both of those, well, and by the way, we should mention again, we do have Dr. Matt Clark with us today. Because that's the kind of people you get on Thy Strong Word. You know, there's no jokers there, no comedians. They're doctors, professors, what have you. But you know, I mean, that's what I'm saying. If you think about KFUO, you don't think about it being humorous. Well, think of it that some of the greatest preachers of the last century, because we are celebrating the 100th anniversary of KFUO, people like... Walter Meyer, who started this whole thing, and then there was Oswald Hoffman, and Dale Meyer, and Wallace Schultz. I mean, these are fantastic, great preachers of the gospel, and so really, should we even be doing a show like Wrestling with the Basics on KFUO?
The program director asks himself that question weekly, I'm sure.
Well, and you know, so the thing is, I was thinking about that, and my answer always has been, well, yeah, that's true. KFUO has been a very, very, it's serious because we want people to know God loves them, sending the Savior out into the world in his message. And yet there was a time when KFUO actually interviewed the Three Stooges. That's part of their history too. And in response to that, my wife says, well, they only have two Stooges now.
Thanks, Lynn. So that's the I'll take that as a compliment.
And it's a joke that I wanted to share with you. They only have two Stooges now, Lynn says. All right. Well, enough of that.
Oh,
then.
That's great.
I'm sure.
But, you know, I think people, and you know, and I do, you know, or should, you know, the humor end of things. You know, I was talking to one of our listeners, Jeremy, was talking to me. He listens while cutting the lawn, from what I understand. And sometimes the lawnmower gets away from him when he's listening to the rest of the basics. You know, things like that, that, you know, I think, you know, again, taking God's word seriously, but not ourselves too seriously. And I hope we bring a little bit of humor and a smile to people's faces every once in a while, too. And nothing wrong with that.
And by the way, thank you, because we needed to make that announcement on behalf of our legal department, that any injuries sustained by laughter are not our responsibility, okay? You can't hold That's us good. Liable for that. So you just need to hold on to the lawnmower tartar. Come on.
Maybe get rid of the self-propelled. I don't know.
Well, he needs to have a dead man switch or something on it. Come on. Give us a break. By the way, in light of that, Matt, I think it is about time for another 100 seconds of bad jokes. So maybe next week we'll do that.
Oh, fantastic. Okay. All right, great. Great,
something
good.
People look forward to.
I'll be sure to tune in.
From the Two Stooges. You've got something much better, though. Much better to talk about. In fact, something I'm excited about, because I am an anxious guy. And you want to talk about anxiety, you said.
Yeah, John. Boy, yeah. And I think, you know, you use the word anxiety. And, you know, as we talk through this a little, you know, I think one thing to wrestle with is, you know, is there a difference between anxiety and being anxious? And you know, I think there might be a distinction there.
Yeah,
we can talk about that more. But you know, to kind of set the scene here, we're going to be in Luke chapter 12. Right before this is that little story that Jesus tells that we discussed a couple weeks ago on Wrestling with the Basics, but it's that parable of the rich fool. Remember? Remember this guy comes to Jesus and says, yeah, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. Jesus says, man, what are you talking about? This is not why I came, was to be an arbiter and decide, you know, what people's wills and bequests look like, and inheritances. That's not why I'm here, right? And then he talks about how a person's life should not consist in the abundance of his possessions, right? And then he tells that parable about the rich fool, sometimes we call it, the guy who his land produces plentifully, seems to be no effort of his own. It just produces plentifully. And then he decides, well, what shall I do? Right. And he talks to himself. He only consults himself. I've got more crops than what I need. And he goes, well, I know what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and I'll build bigger ones so that I can just relax and eat and drink and be merry. Right. And we talked about how he really gives no thought to others, no thought to his neighbor, no thought to what the Lord wants him to do even, but he just consults himself. And uses this surplus in a very, very selfish way. And again, Jesus calls him a fool because of it. And says, this soul will be required of you this very night. And the things that you've prepared, whose will they be? And then Jesus ends by saying, so is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And the reason I bring that up, John, is what we read next is almost Jesus' commentary, I think, in some ways, on that parable. He gives us a little commentary on, okay, how to apply this to your life, what this means for you now. So I think that the review of that parable is helpful to then get us ready for Jesus' commentary, which I think is very, very relevant for us and for our listeners today. But before we go there, any other comments about that parable of the rich fool, that whole segment?
Well, one of the things that's been really exciting for me this time around, and it's one of the really cool things you get when you're a pastor, because you get to study the Word of God over and over again, is that you see, I never thought about the connection between the Good Samaritan and Mary and Martha. Although when you go back, oh, well, of course, those are parallel, that they belong together. I'd never thought about it before, but I think you're absolutely right. This whole business about the rich fool, that is directly connected to what we're going to be hearing in Luke chapter 12, verse 22. And I did want to say, too, that this whole phrase that he's not rich toward God, I'd never thought about before, but he doesn't think about God at all, does he? He doesn't think about the God who supplies this abundant crop. He doesn't think about the God who calls us to love the neighbor. He doesn't think about the God who gives us our soul and would grant us eternal life. There is absolutely no thought about God in any of the things he says. It's all about him and it's all about his possessions. So I didn't even think about that. Yeah, it's how do you be rich towards God? Well, it's actually pretty obvious when you're rich towards God. You have faith and you have love.
Yep. Well put. Yeah. So, and okay, go ahead, John.
No, I'm done. Go ahead, Matt.
Okay. Yeah, again, I think the emphasis in that parable, Jesus, again, a couple times says, you know, he only consults himself, right? Yeah. What shall I do? You know, and I will say to my soul, relax, eat, drink, and marry. I will tear down my barns. I will build bigger ones. I will store my grain. It's all about him. And what do we do with the things with which the Lord has blessed us? Well, we think beyond ourselves. Because, as we're about to see, if we only think of ourselves, when it comes to possessions, if that's our only focus, it's going to lead to anxiety. Yeah, believe it or not. And that's what Jesus talks about as he gives this commentary then on this parable, the rich fool. So, as we get into that, reading a commentary on this, the Concordia Commentary Series, the commentary, Art Just, I think, is the one who wrote that one. He breaks this, what we're about to read, into three parts, three different imperatives. So an imperative is when you're telling someone to do something, right? An imperative. Right. And the first group of imperatives is one about food and clothing. So when it comes to food, when it comes to clothing, what's our attitude? What should we do? And so that's what Jesus deals with there in verses 22 through 28. If you want to read that section for us,
John. So 22 through 28, Matt?
Yeah.
Okay. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith?"
Yeah, there you go, John. So what's, I think, one of the first things to comment on, again, is you look at the context before this, there's a huge crowd of people. It says thousands, right? They're trampling over each other to see Jesus.
Even. Yeah.
And that's how the chapter starts. And then, you know, this man comes to him and says, "Hey, Jesus, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Okay. And then Jesus tells that parable by the rich fool. And then did you notice who he's talking to here, though?
The disciples. Yeah.
I just think that's kind of interesting, you know, because again, he's in the midst of a crowd of thousands. I think it's still pretty clear, right? And yet it's like he's talking kind of as an aside to his disciples, whether that's the 12 or maybe a broader group, it's people who believe in him, right? His followers. And it seems like this is a special word, especially for them, you know, a commentary on what he's already said.
One of the neat thing about Luke, now that you mentioned that, I just remember that. He always tells you who he's talking to. And so it's fun to read him because you can see what groups, and you can also see how that affects the words he speaks to them, because this would not necessarily be the word he would speak, say, to a Pharisee who trusts in himself. I don't know that he would necessarily say this to a rich fool, again, who has no concept of God at all as the provider, but certainly to the disciples, to those of little faith, which I'd like to comment on if we can a little bit later. Yeah, these are the words he speaks to them. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I think too, you know, for the disciples in particular, again, it's important to know the audience. What is he preparing them for? You know, I think he's kind of, in my mind, he's preparing them for something too. When he's going to die, he's going to rise, he's going to ascend, he's going to commission them to go and make disciples of all nations, right? And so as they go out, boy, I wonder if these words of Jesus were still in their hearts and in their minds, right? Preparing for that time when he's going to leave them, bodily leave them at least, and certainly send the Holy Spirit, but to keep this in mind. And by extension for us too, as his disciples today, to have a right understanding as we too hopefully go out in our vocations and our callings, serving him, to keep these words of Jesus in our minds and in our hearts too.
Well, and it reflects what he said to them when he sent them out originally, that he said, don't take anything with you. You just have to kind of depend upon the people you're visiting to take care of you. So that's kind of the same message we have here. Yeah.
Very much. Exactly. Yeah, so he tells them not to be anxious about certain things. So what are some of the things to not be anxious about there, John?
Well, don't be anxious about your clothing. Don't be anxious about what your food. Don't be anxious about life in general, it says.
Yeah, about your life, you know, your span of life and, you know, where you're going to eat, where you're going to put on. Yeah, do not be anxious about those things. So I think, you know, he's talking about don't be anxious about possessions in particular, you're right, in these verses. And again, coming off the rich fool parable, that makes sense. Don't be anxious about possessions because, you know, if we're anxious about possessions, if that's what our focus is on, right, our life, our possessions, we eat and drink, you know, what is our focus not on?
It's not on Jesus, not on his kingdom.
It's not on Jesus, exactly. And you know, and again, he'll talk about his kingdom more in just a little bit. So that's the big thing. Anxiety as a distraction from those things that are truly important, Christ and his kingdom, right? And I think this is where, you know, it's maybe important to make a little bit of a distinction here between anxiety or being anxious. And I know, you know, some of our listeners, and I know certainly, you know, folks that I minister to, they have anxiety, right? And that's diagnosable and that's treatable and to seek a counselor over to, you know, some people even find different medications helpful. That really is a legitimate, just an illness even we should take seriously, right? And Jesus isn't saying, well, it's a sin to have anxiety. Well, no, that's not it. He's talking here about being anxious and about being anxious specifically about these possessions, these earthly things, so much and to the extent that we ignore him and that we ignore his kingdom, which, again, we're going to hear about soon. So I just want to make that little distinction there, John, for our listeners, that now this isn't, you know, a condemnation of people that have anxiety. No, not at all. But Jesus is speaking against being anxious about those things that distract from him, right?
And not only distract from him, but I think distract from the love of the neighbor,
right? Yeah, no doubt.
Because if we're so concerned about what have I got, what am I going to wear, what am I going to eat, then we forget about the, I was hungry and you fed me, I was thirsty and you gave me drink, I was naked and you clothed me. Then it's all about us and not about what we might be able to do to help the people around us who also have reason to be anxious, I suppose. And we're also the answer then to their anxiety when we're doing what God has given us to do.
Yeah, you know, I love that. You know, yeah, we're going to be clothed. He's going to provide what we need for their to eat, to wear. But sometimes the way God provides that is through us. You know, we're the instruments by which God provides for others to have clothing, to have food, right? And that's important too. Don't be like the rich fool. Again, going back to that parable, don't just care about yourself, but about your neighbor. Were you going to say something?
Okay. Well, I was going to say this phrase here about he refers to these people that are anxious about or you of little faith.
Yeah.
And so my pastor, Pastor Bittner, made a really good point that that's not a word of condemnation. You kind of alluded to that too, that God doesn't condemn people who have anxiety. But Pastor Bittner said that's actually a word of compassion. The fact of the matter is, yeah, we do have our worries and our fears because we are people of little faith. And yet at the same time, we're still people of faith, right? And by that, I mean, we're people that God loves and cares for. Our fears, we shouldn't fear, right? That's what he'll say here in a moment. Don't fear. But if we do, it doesn't change him. His concern, his compassion is still there. I thought that was a good insight on Pastor Bittner's part.
Yeah, and I think we think, you know, and just affirm that. And we see other examples in the Gospels in particular where people have little faith, and yet what does Jesus do? He still has compassion. He still teaches them. He still heals, you know, their loved ones, you know. And that's a great comfort for us. Yeah.
My favorite example of that is the disciples on the boat in the middle of a storm where their anxiety is so high that they actually say, don't you care if we perish or not? right?
Yep.
That's a pretty rude example. Thing to say to God. Don't you care? And of course, what does Jesus do? He says, oh, well, you can all drown. No, he immediately gets up and calms the storm and yet also says, oh, ye of little faith. Okay.
Yeah. I like that, John, because, you know, they're anxious. And the phrase you said was, Jesus, don't you care? Right.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, what anxiety, you know, what leads to anxiety sometimes is thinking, well, maybe God doesn't care for me, right? And that makes us anxious. And that's exactly what Jesus is addressing here, is this comforting word of gospel that he does care for you most definitely. So we have in this text, you know, that Jesus says he points them to the ravens, right? They don't do anything and God feeds them. I like he says, they don't store in barns, right? Reference to that parable, the rich fool, right? They don't store in barns, those ravens, and God cares for them, right? And then he talks about the lilies of the field. They grow and they spin, right? And they don't toil or spin. And yet, wow, Solomon didn't even look as nice as one of those. So, wow, what words of comfort. I think on the surface, maybe we don't find a whole lot of comfort. Okay, God cares about birds and lilies, big deal. But then Jesus adds that word, you know, boy, if God clothes, cares for, you know, the grass, which is alive today, gone tomorrow, how much more will he clothe you, right? So it's this statement from the lesser to the greater. If God cares for the lilies, if he cares for the grass, if he cares for the ravens, how much more, oh my goodness, will he care for you, who he knit together in your mother's womb, right? And whom he created and knows and is going to even die for, right, on the cross. So I think, wow, what great comfort. So that when we are anxious, we can know, no, Jesus does care for me. And here's proof of it in these words right here.
And here's a thought to add to that. You talked about thinking that maybe God doesn't care for us. And maybe we think that because, well, I'm not doing the things that God wants me to do. You know, I've sinned, I've done wrong. So really, why should he care for me? And yet that's the point of the ravens and the lilies. They don't work. They don't do anything. And yet they're gods. They're God's creatures. And so he does provide for them. And so, yeah, God's going to care for us, not because we've done so well, not because we've worked so hard, not because we've earned it. That was never the reason he cared for us, but rather, as you said, because we're his children. We belong to him. And I'm not saying that's an excuse for us not to be doing what God would have us to do. But on the other hand, that's not the reason God loves us, even as we love our kids, even when they don't always do what they ought to be doing.
Yeah. Yeah, and I would, even extend that even further, you know, that God even cares for people who don't love him, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know, I think, you know, the petition, give us this day our daily bread, the Lord's Prayer, and then the meaning about, you know, it says that, you know, that God gives daily bread to everyone without their prayers, even to evil people, right? But, you know, we pray this petition that he would lead us to realize it, that it comes from him, to give him thanksgiving. So that alleviates anxiety to know that, God is the one who does do this care for me, clothes me, feeds me, and boy, that I can be at peace. Yeah, he does that for everyone, whether they, you know, no one deserves it, but he does it for everyone. And Lord, may we realize that you're the one who does that, and may that give us peace.
Yeah, that's a profound
insight.
So the
next section there is more imperative. Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, and so that helps us, because I think that there's this, why is it that evil people still continue to prosper? But see, that's actually the proof of the fact that God is a God of mercy and everyone prospers, even that rich fool. He was a rich fool, right? And yet God prospered him. Unfortunately, unless there is some repentance, unless there is faith, the end will be bad. That's the bad thing. Yeah, mm-hmm. but yeah, the love and mercy of God is always there.
Yeah, exactly.
Man, I'm going to throw out a suggestion or two. We still have a few minutes to go, but this has been such a good subject. Do not feel compelled to get everything done in this session, okay? We'll continue next week.
Okay.
Because I know there's a lot more material here too. So I've been there. I know how I got to get this squeezed in. But no, just take your time, Matt. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Take your time.
All right. Thanks, John. I appreciate it. And I think we can get through a few more verses here. Just
sure.
As he talks then about, again, we're looking at imperatives, and now we had imperatives about food and clothing. Now, here's some imperatives, some commands about the kingdom itself. So if you could read verses 29 through 32.
And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried, for all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Is that as far as you wanted me to go, Matt?
Yeah. And then, in the verse 32.
All right. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom.
All right. So, there's some things to not seek, and then some things to seek in just these few verses. So, what should we not seek?
Well, again, we're back to the food and the eating and the drinking. Yep. And no, don't be worried about that. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Do not seek what you're to eat, drink, nor be worried, right? And I love that. Your Father knows you need those things. You know, you think of like, you think of parents and children, right? If children worry, they don't worry, at least, in most cases. If you have loving parents, you're probably not going to be worried about, whether you're going to have dinner, right? Or whether you're going to have a place to sleep, or whether you're going to have clothes to wear the next day or not. You know, if you have loving parents, in general, right, you're going to have those things. You don't have to be anxious. And, how much more can we not worry when it comes to our Heavenly Father, right, who gives us all things? He loves us. He's going to take care of us. Don't be worried. You don't have to seek after those things. Your Father knows that you need them, as Jesus says.
Well, and I think that's also emphasized by the phrase, for all the nations, or the word there actually in the Greek is ethnos, which is a negative word. This is the Gentiles. These are the people that don't deserve anything. And yet they get all this stuff too. Okay. So if God's given this to these people that don't even believe in him, don't even know him, well then the Father does know you and he knows what you need. So all the more reason you don't need to worry about that stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, so we have the, things not to seek after, right?
Yeah.
But there's something that we should seek after here in these verses as well, right? So verse 31, what do we seek after?
His kingdom. His
kingdom. So instead of all these distractions, food, clothing, worries, seek his kingdom. So there is something we should be seeking actively, but it's his kingdom. And all these things will be added to you. And then he says, of those beautiful words, fear not, little flock, your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So, I guess we can end with this, John, is we already talked about his care from us from the lesser to the greater. If he cares for the grass, if he cares for the birds, how much more does he care for us? But this is almost talking about from the greater to the lesser. If God gives you the whole kingdom, if it's his good pleasure to give you the kingdom itself, how much more then is he going to give you the little things like what you need to eat and what you need to wear, right?
Yeah.
If Jesus died for you and rose for you and gives eternal life, if the Father sent his Son to do all those things, how much more is the Father going to give you something to wear, something to eat, and just take care of your life? So the greater to the lesser is just as important to realize and to rejoice in and to find relief from anxiety from. Yeah. Any final thoughts, John?
Actually, no. Although,
okay.
when we come back next week, I think we need to go back to this concept of the little flock too.
Good.
That's for next week. Thank you.
Thanks for assuring me I could do it next week, because that relieved my anxiety, John.
Well, we pray we've helped everybody's anxiety. This has been Wrestling with the Basics.
Showing support for KFUO is now easier than ever. You can sport a KFUO shirt, swag, or even socks by visiting our online store. Go to KFUO.org/store and order high-quality KFUO-branded merch. You no longer need to wait for our annual share-a-thon for a chance to show your KFUO spirit. Visually share and wear this ministry out in the world by checking out our selection. Every purchase helps to support our proclamation of Christ for you, anytime, anywhere. Go to KFUO.org/store.